By way of introduction, my name is John Brock. I currently live in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I've known the Lord since 1969. And the subject that we're going to be talking about today, sharing about, scripture memory, is just really near and dear to my heart. And as we go through this, basically what I'd like to do is just share a few war stories with you. I know we all have them, but at least as to how this became so important to me. And then we'll talk about the importance of scripture memory. You have that in your handout. We'll work through that and sharing some additional things with you along the way. And then we'll talk about, too, about maybe some experience about getting other people involved in scripture memory. And classes and things of that nature. And again, I hope that that will be helpful. But let's just pause now for a word of prayer, and we'll commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the privilege that we have to share, Lord, this important subject with these men. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for their availability and for their willingness to just move one step closer to you. And so, Father, we just commit this time to you. We pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words from our lips will be acceptable in your sight. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay. I came to Christ March 22nd, 1969. And there was a fellow that was very instrumental in my coming to Christ. His name was Dick Grant. And some of you may know Dick. Dick was a geologist. In fact, I met him. I was working for a company called Halliburton at the time, and I met him on a rig, drilling rig, out in western Kansas. And one of the first things that impressed me about Dick was as he was out there in what they call the doghouse on these rigs. That's where the geologist would stay. Hi. And he had a Bible out there, and he had these verses that he was memorizing. And that just really impressed me, that anyone would be that serious about the scriptures. We attended church and did all sorts of things, but quite frankly, I'd never quite seen anything like that. And through a series of events that I'll not go into here, but the Lord just continued to draw me closer to himself. And finally, one day, as I said, March 22nd, 1969, I declared spiritual bankruptcy. And I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and to save me, and he did. And my life has never been the same since. But I was one of these guys. I was 28 years old, and in the church that we attended, I'd walked the aisle, was baptized, rededicated a couple of times, and tithed, did all those things, truly, before I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But there, 17 years in the church, well, I knew now what I need. I just need to just hook up, get engaged, and just move ahead. I know what to do. And Dick was just lovingly there and encouraging. And one of the things that he was trying to get me to do was to start hiding God's Word in my heart. And he said, John, I promise you, if you'll take the time just to memorize one little old verse at a time, it's the quickest way to get God's Word into your heart. It's not the only way, but it's the quickest way. And Dick is a geological engineer, in fact, very practical guy, very pragmatic. And everything that we did, it seemed to have an application to it. But basically, my attitude was that I had a pretty high opinion of myself. I felt like I was above average intelligence, and I've since learned that that was indeed not the case. But I felt like that, well, while you're wasting the time memorizing one little verse of Scripture, I mean, look, I can read, and I can remember, and I can do all these great things. Well, about 6 months after I came to Christ, we were attending a couples conference out at Glen Eyrie. And which is the Navigator's headquarters at that time. It still is. And one afternoon, some of the men that were attending that conference got the bright idea that, well, hey, let's go do some cold turkey evangelism. Now, these are just conferees. This wasn't part of the organized program. Have any of you ever done any cold turkey evangelism? Hold your hand up. Not very many. But I'm telling you, that was the most frightening experience of my life. I mean, you know, yes, I believed in Jesus. I believed the gospel. I believed that people needed to hear it. And I felt like, you know, I needed to be a part of that. But believe me, I had no idea what to do. And so, but we, you know, pride got me into this. And so I'm with these other fellows. There's probably 20 of us or so. We go down to Manitou Springs. And I'm paired up with a doctor from Salina, Kansas. And, of course, we're living in Wichita at the time. And this poor doctor was about as ill-equipped as I was. And, I mean, we were trying. We had little Steps to Peace with God by the Billy Graham Association. And we're, you know, wanting to share it with somebody. And I remember we were at a miniature golf course. And in all of my life, I felt like I had leprosy or something. You know, I mean, after a while, you're walking up trying to talk to people, you know, and people, you know, they don't want, they're walking away and all the rest of this. And pretty soon the proprietor gets to noticing these two guys over there and that we were just about to get run off. And so we left there, went over to a park area there in Manitou. And so we were looking for someone to talk to. And I'll tell you, a very good thing about that experience was that all of a sudden I looked at people in a whole new way. I came to realize that every person in this park is a candidate for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm looking for where to start, but I didn't know what to do, didn't know how to do it. So there was this, I'll just describe him, me being from Oklahoma originally, and there was this cowboy looking fellow sitting over on a park bench by himself. And so I know this doctor and I, we probably stared at him for 15 minutes, you know, before we walked up to him. And didn't know what to say. I walked up and I said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "Are you a Christian?" And this is exactly what he said. He said, "Well, hell, man, my cousin's a Southern Baptist preacher in Oklahoma." Boy, that's good enough for me. Obviously, we don't get talking. Boy. So anyway, this was we were going to do this for 1 hour, and I promise you that was the longest hour of my life. So we're back up at Glen Eyrie, and the guys are sharing their experiences and what all had happened. And lo and behold, there actually been some folks that come to Christ that afternoon. I was incredulous, but they really had. And I made the comment. I said, "Well, let me tell you guys something." I said, "I think this is well and good, you know, but I'm telling you right now, I will witness for the Lord when I get back to my environment, back home, but I am never going to do this again." And there was a fellow there from Omaha, Nebraska. His name was Tom Bauman. And Tom, who was a trained, equipped disciple. And Tom said, "John, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back down there tomorrow." I don't know if he's planning to or not, to be honest with you. But he said, "I want you to go with me." And he said, "You don't have to say a word. I just want you to just go down and watch and pray." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So the next afternoon, we go back to the same park there in Manitou Springs. And so we're walking across this footbridge going into this park. And, of course, this is during the Vietnam War and so forth, and, you know, all the hippies and all that stuff that was going on at that time. And so there were four young people, hippies, laying across this bridge. You literally had to step across them to get into the park. So I'm looking around for some people for Tom to talk to, you know, and he walked right up to them, for goodness sakes. And he said, "Hello, my name is Tom Bauman. I'm from Omaha, and this is John Brock from Wichita, Kansas." So we're just taking some time out this afternoon to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Would you have a few minutes to talk to us? And they said, "Sure." And I couldn't believe it. And they stood up. Tom began graciously sharing the gospel with them. And whenever they'd have a question, Tom would answer them with scripture. And it was just amazing just how the needle of a pen just perfectly touching the issue that was dealt with. And we'd move along to the next point, so on and so forth. I couldn't believe it. And so finally, Tom reached the end, toward the end of his gospel presentation, and he said, let me ask you a question. If I were a genie and I could grant you any wish that you'd wish, what would it be? And one of the young men said it'd be for world peace. And Tom said, you know, it's interesting you say that. He said, Jesus says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, is there any good reason why you can't accept Jesus Christ right now? And I watched three of those four kids accept Christ right there on that bridge.
Amen.
You know, praise God. Well, I'm pretty hard-headed and pretty stubborn, but that showed me that I needed some help. And so here was someone back home willing to help me. And that's when we got back to Wichita and Dick and Judy began meeting with Lonnie and I, my wife, and they helped us to start growing in our Christian walk. And obviously a very fundamental part of that was scripture memory and hiding the Word of God in our hearts. And you know what Dick said is it's true. It's the quickest way that I know of to get God's Word into your heart. I'd like to let's work through this worksheet here, and we'll be touching on some other things, and I'll give you some other things as time is appropriate. Well, have you sometimes hesitated to give a positive witness for Christ simply because you were afraid that you would be unable to answer from the Scriptures the questions which might be asked? And in what ways does God's Word apply to us? And how can the Bible help us personally? And here are just a few ways. That God's Word is the means of our salvation. How would you know that you were born again if it was not for the Scriptures? It's certainly not because of your feeling or some philosophy or some ethic or anything else. 2 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then it's the food for the Christian's growth. 1 Peter 2:2-3, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have found that the Lord is gracious. Let me tell you something. I've always had a problem with people that would, only God knows their heart, but supposedly they are converted. They come to Christ, and yet they have no hunger for the Word of God. I just can't comprehend that. In the physical, you know that a baby is healthy when it has an appetite. And if it doesn't have one, there's something wrong. It's either sick or it's dead. And but the Word of God is the milk for the Christian. I remember one time I was a graduate assistant for a Dale Carnegie course. And kind of in that role, I was going through it a second time or so and was able to sit back there in the back of the class and kind of observe how things were unfolding. And you get to know people pretty well in one of those courses. And mostly what you talk about is yourself, you know, helping people overcome their fear of speaking and all that sort of thing. And as I was sitting back there in the back, and I was looking over the enrollment forms, as the different people that were in this class, it was amazing the number of people said they enrolled in the Dale Carnegie course to get more joy out of life. Now, that's interesting, and that's so sad. I mean, you know, I recommend the Dale Carnegie course, but don't do it to get more joy out of life. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It is our source of joy. It's our... Yes, sir?
Being sitting in the back row of Dale Carnegie, this fan back here is really loud. So you
speak up. Hey, this turned off. But then you speak up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's on a thermostat, so it may kick back on. So you might want to lower the temperature just a little bit. It was about 62 when I came in here, so it was pretty cool. Thank you, though. It's our weapon against temptation. Ephesians 6, 16 and 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, speaking of a sword, the sword of the Spirit. Fellas, a sword in the hand is worth 10,000 in the armory. And that's the idea about, again, having the Word of God in your heart versus, I mean, yes, be familiar with the Word, but to have it in your heart and have it ready to use, that the Holy Spirit can use at a moment's notice. I've heard of a Gene War talk about a practical use of Scripture memory and avoiding temptation. He said, you see a pretty girl walking down the street, and all of a sudden, you know, your thoughts start to get a little lustful. And what you can do is just look away and quote 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And by the time you get through with it, she's probably already gone. So, isn't that practical? Yeah. It's the main key to finding the will of God. To finding the will of God. I can just share right now, and I say right now, we've changed governors in Oklahoma. And previous governor that asked me to do the job that I'm doing, I'm director of a state agency in Oklahoma now, was a Republican, and the one I supported was Republican, but we've got a Democrat elected, so I don't know if I'm going to be staying in there or not. But as I was praying about this about 7 years ago, about whether or not I should come into this agency, it was having a lot of problems, it was a lot of strife, a lot of issues, and it was a very difficult situation to walk into. And I was seeking counsel from godly men that are very close to me and that I appreciate their opinion and so on. But as I was working through whether or not I should accept this, the Lord gave me, you might hear this, the Lord gave me this promise. It's as though He said it to me. It's Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, and the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And I know that context, it's prior to going into the promised land and so on and so forth, to Moses and to Joshua and so on. But that word was God's promise to me. It's the key to finding God's will. You might want to turn that off. That fan just came back on back there. You know, along that line now, I don't know if I'm going to be staying in this job or not. But the Lord has given me another promise. It's Isaiah 52:12. It says, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. So it's a key to finding God's will for your life. It's the means of an effective witness for Christ. 2 Peter 1:16, it says, talking about the Scriptures, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Literally what we have is an eyewitness account of Jesus Christ in all His glory. And sure, using the Scriptures, it is the means of an effective witness. I remember one time after visiting with a customer of mine when I was in Halliburton in the oil business, and it just, he had all these arguments and all these excuses, all these things. And by the way, he brought up the subject. I wasn't over there wasting company time. But he brought it up, and I would answer him with Scripture. And by the way, too, guys, I don't mean just book, chapter, and verse, bam, bam, bam. I mean, you can share Scripture without getting into all the detail. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that if a non-believer, I share the book, chapter, and verse with this group because I think you guys want to know where it is that it's coming from. But if it's an unbeliever over here, he may or may not want to know. But as far as the book, chapter, and verse, but you can still share the scripture with them. And that's what I had done with this particular guy, and I felt a little defeated as I was walking back to my car. And I was reminded, it's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 in the Living. It says, "It is true that I'm an ordinary, weak human being, but I don't use human plans and methods to win my battles. I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men to knock down the devil's strongholds. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ." You know, powerful weapons. And thank God it's not up to your or my intellect to convince people into the kingdom of God. We have the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Boy, have confidence in the Word of God. It equips us to counsel others. Isaiah 15:4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Isaiah 15:4. You know, in my experience with Halliburton, for a few years we lived overseas. We lived in France and was over the operation for Southern Europe and West Africa. And a lot of international employees. And one thing I found to be true, you know, that the Word of God transcends cultures. Truth is truth. And let me share you, this is, I think, a powerful verse. It's Job 12:11, and I believe this is NIV. Get this. "Just as my mouth tastes good food, so my mind tastes truth when I hear it." And boy, I found that to be true. When you're dealing with people, you get to know them, and you're close to them, and you've gone through some pressured situations and all the rest, and they observe you. They watch how you react. They watch your life and so forth, and they'll ask questions, and you can share, again, Scripture without necessarily book, chapter, and verse, but share the truth of the Word of God, and people taste it as truth, and they know it, and it's a powerful thing. Then one other thing, and I don't have it down here, but it just I'm reminded of this, that once it's in your heart, you can't get away from it. I have a friend, a man that I've been very close to in ministry and saw him go through some very difficult times. And I'll tell you right now, he's walking with the Lord today. But for a while, he was really having a tough time of it. Satan really hit him with both barrels. And he reached the point to where that, I mean, he was willing to walk away and not come back. But Jeremiah 20:9, it says, "But I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But it says, but his word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Just one more reason why it's important to hide the Word of God in your heart. Another verse that comes to mind is Proverbs 4:20-21. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, but keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body." So, how can I get to know the Word of God? And I know for a lot of you guys, this is very, very fundamental. In fact, I won't spend a lot of time on it. It's in your book here, the conference brochure. But you can certainly get the detail on this. Look here, it's the hand illustration on page 22. They don't have any verses listed with it, so I'll just share some of these verses with you. And you go home, you were looking for something to memorize. Well, you can memorize this hand illustration. But notice that, you know, there are different ways to take in the Word of God. obviously you can take it in by hearing. I could, if John Repass were here right now, how many of you enjoyed John's message last night? Yeah. How many of you can list three or four points for us right now? I mean, you could, because you know the context and all the rest. But what about Wednesday night? Could you remember what John shared? You see what I'm saying? What's your pastor? What was a couple of points from his sermon last Sunday? You know, it's we just don't hang on to things that we hear. The experts say that we probably remember in 24 hours less than 10% of what we hear. But Romans 10:17 says, "Blessed are they that hear." So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then there's reading, Revelation 1:3, and there we'd remember about 15 to 20%. And then there's study, 2 Timothy 2:15, and again, that's with pencil and paper and really working through something, and you might remember 35 to 50% 24 hours later. And so, you know, in this hand illustration, you know, it's as though if you're just hearing, this is about your only grip. And if you're hearing and reading, you know, and then study. And then, then the fourth would be scripture memory. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, King James says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So, you know, you're doing pretty good here. Hear, read, study, and memorize. But then, this thumb is where the power comes in. The thumb represents meditation. Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you know, even if you just had just scripture memory and just meditation, you know, you've still got a pretty good grip, but we need to have all four. Some have said that the problem with the Pharisees was a problem of about 15 inches. You know, they had the word up here. They could share scripture with you, but the problem was they didn't have it down here. And it's through meditation and looking at the scriptures intently, with the purpose to apply, that it gets from here into the heart. Thousands of people testify that memory work pays the greatest dividends for the time invested of anything they have ever done. It is the fastest and most effective way to become equipped for instant use of the Word of God. I'll tell you something. I'm not currently teaching Sunday school, but I have over the years, and preparing Bible studies and different things. And I used to feel somewhat guilty, seemed like, because I didn't spend more time in preparing to teach. I'd get started on a passage, or I'd get started on a subject or a study, and it just, the Holy Spirit would just flood me, just bring to mind the Word of God. That applies here, applies there, so on and so forth. And it's just, it's incredible how that can happen. And then one day it dawned on me, well, you know, I have spent quite a bit of time preparing. You know, it's the time that it takes to hide those verses away that the Holy Spirit can pull to mind and apply to a particular situation. But it's just one more value, one more benefit of hiding the Word of God in your heart. Can I memorize? Can you memorize? Who knows what the three secrets to memorizing Scripture are? Bruce, I bet you do. What are the three things?
I think it has something to do with review, and then maybe review.
That's it. review. I'll tell you, once in... we were living in Duncan, Oklahoma, where we lived for a long time, over 20 years. And we had a scripture memory class down there, and Tito Contreras was in our class, and he was memorizing these verses in Spanish and in English as well. And I'd ask that question, and Chito would say, practica, practica, practica. You know, that's it. Review, review, review. If you understand from the beginning that memorization is essentially review, the battle is half won. A verse of Scripture is not fixed in the memory until it has been periodically and regularly reviewed over an extended period of time. When I first became acquainted with Scripture memory, as I said, it was in Wichita, Kansas, and there was a course up there that we were using in our ministry, and we were going to the Wichita Bible Church at that time, and it got to the point to where that, and there were trained leaders, that we had a class starting about every quarter, and the course that we were using, it's a different book now. I mean, it's the same. Look at there, just falling apart. I've had a long time. But this is a course that was written for Moody Correspondence School by Lawrence Annie, who is the president of the Navigators. And it's 72 verses of Scripture. And in fact, you know, that became like our new members class and so forth. If we had someone we led to Christ or somebody, you know, some new young Christian, one of the quickest things we'd do is get them involved and memorize the Word. And not only was it very beneficial to them and the importance of memorizing Scripture, but along the way, too, they would learn how to prepare their testimony. They'd learn how to share their faith. Obviously, learn how to have a quiet time and that sort of thing. We're memorizing three verses a week. And I'm going to start jumping around here a little bit, if you guys will please forgive me for this. But Moody noticed that of all the courses that they offered, they had the highest dropout rate from Memorize the Word of anything else that they offered. And, you know, that's a big business for them, the correspondence school. And but why were all the people, you know, they'd start, but they just didn't make it, except in Wichita, Kansas. And they noticed that there was, in the order, it was better than 95% completion in Wichita. And in fact, I have an article that Moody wrote on this, but they sent someone down to Wichita to find out why. Why is it that there's such a high completion rate up here? And let me share this with you. And this is something that you may be able to apply when you go home. I don't have it written down here. I have a part of this with me that I'll give to those of you that are interested in it. But the key was the way that it was administered. And for those of us that were involved, we were in a Navigator community ministry up there. And this was a very integral part of our ministry, a very important tool. And I hope you'll see that as I go on here. Jim Morris, who was the kind of the leader of that ministry up there, and Jim's gone to be with the Lord, and he's my spiritual grandfather. And what a dear guy. What a dear man. But such commitment to the Word and the importance of having it in the heart. And Jim developed the method, the way that we would lead this particular course. And one of the things, and I have about 50 of these with me, and this isn't rocket science, but it might be of value to you if you're interested in it. See me afterward. But this was the enrollment form that we would use up front. Number one was we never talked anybody into doing this, because one of the things that we did not want to do was to develop or enhance a failure pattern in one's walk with the Lord. We wanted to help people to succeed. And so in developing this enrollment form, here's, you know, name, address, telephone number, and so forth, and just a very simple question. In the sense of John 3, do you know whether or not you have been born again? I mean, now what would I have said? Remember, I was in the church 17 years before I came to Christ. And by the way I'd answered this, and when, and so on and so forth, it would be a pretty good tip-off that you need to follow up a little bit with this guy. Because there's a very good chance that he's one of those pew sitters out there that's never come to know Jesus Christ personally. So that's a good place to start. Then, have you ever regularly and systematically memorized Scripture? Good to know. If yes, for how long and when and what year or years? And then, have you completed any systematic Bible studies? And if you have, well, what are they? And that kind of gives an idea as to the completion and the experience that someone has had with the discipline of taking on something difficult and seeing it through. Now, why are you enrolling in this course? And it's very revealing to see what people would say, you know, to be a more effective witness, to be able to counsel, to help others, you know, just temptation, whatever that reason might be. And then it's starting to bear down a little bit more. It says, do you finish well what you undertake to do? Circle the answer. Almost always, usually, more often than not, seldom, or very seldom. So you do that. And then we say, okay, now will you determine now, before starting, to attend every meeting possible, thoroughly prepare your assignment prior to each meeting, and discipline yourself to daily review during the period required for completion of this course. Please answer below, and in doing so, honestly reveal the depth of your commitment. Don't just say yes, but I mean yes by God's grace and with His help and so on and so forth. And before you sign this, let me share a verse with you. It's Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5 in the Living. So when you talk to God and vow to Him that you'll do something, don't delay in doing it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Keep your promise to Him. It is far better not to say you'll do something than to say you will and then not do it. Now, will you sign right here? Let me tell you. And the point being, look, we don't want you to do this unless you are really committed that this is what God wants you to do. And if you're not sure, memorize Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Memorize those two verses, meditate on them for a year, and we'll talk to you next year about it. And I will tell you, the people that sign up mean business. And for those of us that are involved in the discipling ministry, let me tell you, that's a good way to find folks that really do mean business. You know, and... But then, beyond that, Glenn or Jim, when people would get signed up and we get started, one of the things that we would do is assign prayer partners where that they could have mutual sharing and accountability during the week, and they could sharpen one another so that when they come to the class, they were prepared. And then the final thing, and I think this was a stroke of genius, was a review chart. And we'd put that chart up here on the wall, everybody's name up there. And if it's a 30-week course, we'd put in 30 squares. And when we'd get together, we'd call your name, Keith. And Keith would say 7. He would report how many days he had reviewed his verses that week. And I want to tell you something. That's simple, but it's profound. And it had a tremendous impact. I'll tell you, we've seen over the years several hundred people. Do this. One of those that stands out most in my mind is my mother. I was starting a class in Duncan, and mother, who was nearly 70 years old, and she said, I'm going to do this. And I said, now, mother, let me tell you something. I just think it's great. But I said, I'm not going to cut you any slack. You know, this is because, you know, if you, it's here's a principle I've learned in leading something like this. If you start out easy and need to kind of stiffen the commitment to the group, you can't get there. But if you start out no nonsense, love the Lord, love you and everything else, but we're not kidding here. This is serious business. You can always let up. And so I've, you know, with mother, you know, okay, you. And I want to tell you, bless her heart, she did it. And a few months later, mother had 73 verses of Scripture in her heart. She had one of these clocks that would shine the time up on the ceiling at night in her bedroom. And She looked up and said, 1:10. Colossians 1:10. And, you know, she just became a minor prophet, you know, around our church. I'm serious. It's just to see how she was transformed. And one day she told me she was almost angry, in a sense. That she said, why is it that I've known the Lord for 40 years and no one has shown me? Because she had learned how to have a quiet time. She had learned how to hide the word. She always felt dumb spiritually, you know. And I'm glad to say that when she was about 73, she said, they've asked me to teach a Sunday school class. What do you think about that? And it was the oldest group of women in the church. And I said, Mother, I think you're ready, you know. And she took them on and she just loved them. And but that's but they're everywhere. They're everywhere. People that that aspire but don't attain. And I'm telling you guys, we've got something here that can help people really get a foothold spiritually and to be able to move ahead. And I hope you'll take advantage of it. How do I begin? Well, first of all, purpose in your heart to do it. If you want a verse to memorize, jot down Ezra 7:10. I shared that with you there. But and look at it in context. Don't ever memorize a verse out of context. Always look before and after and look at the whole and so forth. Don't let anyone ever accuse you of taking a verse out of context. But for Ezra had prepared, this is King James, but for Ezra had prepared his heart. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And not just to seek it, but and to do it. And then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So prepare your heart. That's the key. And then establish some kind of accountability, whether it's in a class situation or just one other guy or with your wife or someone, but to hold you accountable. This is what I intend to do. One verse a week, two verses a week, whatever you, three verse, whatever you decide. But that someone that iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 28:18 says, or 27:17. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So find somebody that means business just as you do. And you two work together and hold one another up. What is it? Ecclesiastes 4:9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I brought some things along here that went through NAB Press. Obviously, I don't have enough for everybody. But just to give you an idea, I mean, if you're looking for a place to start, start with the beginning with Christ. This is excellent. Not only will it be good for you if you've never done this, I mean, look, you know, what you'll have here is that verses, the Word of God, with all the benefits that we've discussed so far, regarding the assurance of your salvation, the assurance of answered prayer, the assurance of victory over sin, the assurance of forgiveness, and the assurance of guidance, you know, from the Word of God. And then you'll have a tool that when you introduce someone to Christ, what's the first thing you want to do? Help him get the assurance of salvation, the assurance of, you see what I'm saying? But just, it's just a very powerful thing that's available there. You can get these through Navigators. I'm through any Christian bookstore, and I'm not sure they may have. I don't remember if I saw any over here or not today. But they're easily accessible if you'd like to. Then you can go on. I think this is eight verses. This is going on with Christ. This would be the next thing. I'll tell you, too. I've... Is it 12? When I first did it, it was 8. But this is 12 verses. And, you know, one thing, there are always, I've found, a lot of people, and they mean well, and I don't mean this to be harsh, and I don't mean it to be cruel. But, you know, you've just got so much life and so much time to go around. And there are people out there that will take about as much time as you want to give them. And what I've found to be true, somebody, if a man comes to me and he wants some help or whatever, is I found it to find out if he really means business or not, just give him a verse or two to memorize. And give him a verse or two to memorize. And if he does it, he means business. And you'll be able to kind of take it from there. Yes, sir.
What was your two verses you had on your enrollment form?
Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5. That was from the Living Bible. Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5. The navigators have, you can go on to, like the topical memory system. This is 60 verses. First thing you do is you memorize the wheel illustration, and you reserve, you'll get 12 verses related to sharing the gospel with others, and some verses that you can use for counseling and so forth. It's an excellent tool. And again, I got all these through NAV Press from their website, and they'll just fire them right to you. Here's one. I've not done this one. This is on life issues that they have. It's contains four versions of the Bible, and as all of these do. Dealing in this particular one, life issues dealing with anger, dealing with sin, sex, stress, guilt, self-image, suffering, perfectionism, money, depression, knowing God's will, and love. So,
hey John,
yeah.
Blue.
They're blue.
The cards are blue instead of white.
Ooh, that's precious. That's good. That's good. But there are all sorts of things that you can do. Right now, I've got a different Bible, but one of I have at home that's this Life Application Bible. Maybe some of you guys, anybody have one of those with them? But I tell you, that's a good that I've noticed that for every book, all 66 books, they've got a key verse that kind of grabs the essence of that book. Now, that'd be neat to memorize, for example. Or verses regarding doctrinal issues or whatever. But I would suggest that you do it one or two verses at a time. As someone said, I can't swallow an elephant whole, but I can eat him one bite at a time. And do the same thing regarding whatever it is. Maybe there are verses, I quote a lot and have memorized a lot from the J.B. Phillips and other versions. And usually the reason for that is that's what I was reading in my quiet time at the time. And God spoke to my heart in some particular way. And that verse, and you know, you can have, here we go. You can get blank verse cards here to just jot that verse down. And I would suggest that when you do this, that your way of memorizing the verse would be, in fact, if I had a blackboard here, just showing just how the mind works, it'd be as though you have, let's say, this is learning and then forgetting. And then you have learning and then forgetting. And then learning and forgetting and so forth until the times of learning become longer and longer, and the times of forgetting less and less. And the key is that review day after day after day. And it will, you will be able to memorize that verse. Just like, let's say, Ezra 7:10, that you want to memorize it. I'd suggest that you say Ezra 7:10. And to me, fellas, again, this isn't brain surgery. This is just, it's repetition. That's the only key that I know. Some people can visualize and do all sorts of neat tricks to help them. But for me, it's just solid rote. But Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. You see? And just build phrase upon phrase until you're able to say it. And the old thing about saying the reference before and after, it's just a good tool to help tie the two together. And I'll tell you, another benefit of scripture memory, after you've done this for a while, it's just amazing how these verses and different books of the Bible, it just kind of helps you get a handle on where things are located and how to navigate your way through the scriptures. It's just one more value for being able to do that. But fellas, if you know, that's the essence of it. One thing that you might think about is that if you'll review the verse every day for 12 weeks, some have said that it takes about that long for it to start getting into the subconscious. Okay? Then at the end of 12 weeks, that you set it aside to review it once a week. And that you do that for a couple of years, and then you can review it about once every 30 days. And I've got some verses that I've known for 30 years or so that, I mean, I review them more often than this, but you know, every 6 months or so. I mean, they're just old friends. You know, they're there. And it's incredible. And I will tell you, it has nothing to do with intellect. In fact, I have a very good memory. It's just short. You know, it's amazing what I can't remember. And it seems the older I get, there's more I can't remember. But the same principle applies. And just that if you will consider doing that. And here's the practical side of this. Let's say that you take, like, the topical memory system. It's pretty well set up so that you can memorize two verses a week. So let's say that you memorize two verses a week, and you're reviewing those every day. And then the second week, you take on two more. So you're reviewing four verses a week. And you reach the point to where that you've gone now 12 weeks. So how many are you reviewing every day at 12 weeks? 24. That's right. So on the 25th week, you take on two more verses. But what do you do with the first two that you memorized? Put them aside. Those you'll review once a week. You see? It just, there's a system to this. And after you've done this two or three years, you'll figure out whatever works for you and so forth. But they've got, for example, I noticed over here, they've got these long boxes that you can keep hundreds and hundreds of verses, keep them together. I know that in my family, I think the greatest fear that my children have ever had of their father is when they turned over his verse box. That's, but anyway, Daddy needs to be more careful with his verse box, and so on. You can memorize verses regarding personal evangelism. Something here, I memorized it. It's this steps to peace with God. You can do this the same way, just a couple of verses, two or three verses a week, and a lot of these verses you already know, you know. But to be able at least to have a method that you can use to help you with your evangelism. Verses, again, from your quiet time, whatever it is that speaks to your heart. Verses from sermons and so forth. On your handout there, I don't have it on the one that I've got two different versions of this, but I listed a website. Does anyone here know this fellow, Stephen Simpson? Does anyone know who this is? I just ran across this website, but let me tell you, and I have reason to believe this guy may be from Canada, but I would encourage you to check it out. This is everything that he has on his website regarding scripture memory. And I want to tell you, this guy has got it put together. It's really worth looking into. I sense that he's had some navigator experience. In fact, I noticed that there's a reference to something that Bob Seifert had done. I'm going to ask Bob if he knows the guy. But Stephen Simpson is his name, and you have that. I don't have it in front of me. Would one of you? I have two different kinds of handouts here. What is that website?
www.memoryverses.org/smc/promote.hotmail or htm.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
memoryverses.org.
Well, I think memoryverses.org would do it. Yeah, memoryverses.org. Have any of you seen this website before? Well, I'll tell you, I would encourage you to take a look at it. It's excellent. Really, really well done. And I think that'd be a big help.
And that's all this.
That's all his website. That's everything. But it's a lot of good stuff, and more than I can get into now. But I'm sure it'll be a big help to you. Just a couple of things here, and then I'll close, or we can have some discussion if you like. If you are inclined to put together a scripture memory class in your church or where you work or whatever, and you have a heart for what we've been talking about here and will be talking about, and what John Repass was talking about last night about disciple making and raising up laborers, I would suggest that this is a very good place to find people that really do want to move ahead and that are serious about their walk with the Lord. And it's a very good fishing pool. And what I've seen we're not currently doing it in the church that we currently attend, and you're not going to find, by the way, a lot of people just standing in line to do this. But when you do, I'd suggest that you take advantage of it and help them. But just as my spiritual father, Dick Grant, said, John, it's the quickest way to get God's word into your heart. Fellas, I believe it's the quickest way to get God's word into your church. And it's amazing. I've seen this. I know in the church that I currently attend, we presented this a couple of years ago to about 2,000. 36 indicated that it was the desire of their heart. 6 showed up. And 5 actually completed. And I've not always seen the statistics to be exactly like that, but that's not atypical. But so I'm saying that whenever God puts it together, and I would suggest too, I have this enrollment form. I've got, as I said, about 50 of them, that you present this to them. And the thing is, it can sure save you a lot of time, you know, that folks that get started. And the thing, like I said, we don't want to enhance a failure pattern in someone's walk with the Lord. I would far rather that they decide not to make the commitment than that they make it and then fail at it. So that's about all I have. Anybody have any questions? I think and I see a lot of this, a lot of mature fellows in this group that are further down this road than I am. And if you have any questions, I'm sure in this group we can answer them. So what would be on your heart? Anything we've not covered? Yes, sir. Why don't you stand up, David, where they can hear you.
You talked about your system for review and like getting a verse like for the first 12 weeks and then moving on. How do you keep track of that as time, because you're dealing with a lot of verses, and that's kind of trips me up too, is where, keeping track of which verse I need to review and this week, when you get the verses that I've known for a while. I mean, are you like writing down so you say, oh, it's time to move this verse into another box? Are you legalistic about it? Or?
Not really. I'm not, but if I were in a class, let's say right now, I'm just verses that speak to my heart. Those are the ones that I will memorize, and in time when I'm comfortable with them, I'll move them on to a longer review period. But it's just a natural thing. It's that in sequence, the ones that you've memorized, when you reach a certain point, everything just stays in line. Just put them at the front of that other group. You see what I'm saying? And it'll just carry on. But it's really not that difficult. Yes, sir.
What do you find to be your biggest stumbling block in this process?
Biggest stumbling block? Laziness. Yeah, truly. I'll say that for me, that probably 98% of the verses that I've ever memorized have been in a car driving down the road. I'll tell you a funny story about that. I'm kind of ashamed of this, but you want to be careful when you get in that car moving your lips. I was in a little duck in Oklahoma, I was on the board of the rescue mission. And it was one evening, just about sundown, and we just finished up meeting, and we were going home. And so I got in my car, and I grabbed some verses, and I started reviewing my verses. Well, this fellow passed me, driving a Cadillac. And he gave me the one-way sign, you know. And I don't think he was a Baptist, I'm not sure. you can tell him, you know, he's cussing me a little bit there, you know, and pulled in front of me. And like I say, I was saved a little later in life and some of the old habits. So I pulled him over. And I went back, I said, "What did you say to me?" And he said, "What did you say to me?" And it dawned on me, and then I said, "Well, friend, I was reviewing scripture," and it embarrassed both of us just half to death, you know. But you want to be careful with that. You want to be careful with that. Yeah. But I know a lot of folks that they put them on their mirrors at home, or it's using time that normally you'd waste anyway. You know, if it's in getting ready, shaving, doing whatever you might happen to do. I know people that have them mounted up where they can see them when they look in the rearview mirror, you know, or just beside the mirror and so on. And what if, yes, sir?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, this is really convicting to me. I'm glad I came here this morning to hear this. As I was sitting here listening to you, I got how few verses I've memorized, and probably the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of songs that I have memorized.
Yes.
That are just junk. Huh. Just off the radio that I've listened to my whole life.
Hmm.
Which kind of brought up another thing. Is there something you can listen to? Is there a set of tapes or CDs or something you can listen to?
I don't know.
Fred Krebs, the guy that's doing all the stuff in the discipleship library, he's got a top of the memory system on CD and tape.
Yeah. But that was real convicting to me, just sitting here and thinking, you know, how many junky songs mm-hmm. I have nearly totally memorized mm-hmm. that I can just hear a few words, somebody just say something,
right.
And I can just take off in my mind a stupid song. You
know? Right. And that's testimony, though, to the mind and the way it works. That's exactly right.
But am I spending time learning scripture? No.
Exactly.
Well, that only comes to par when you want to memorize scripture, and Satan will use that against you, and you'll remember the songs that you, the dumb songs, the dumb things that you've done, and it's your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Amen. Yes, sir.
John, for a person that wants to start this memorization process, where's a good starting place? Is there a source? You mentioned a couple of books there, but is there a source that you can start? You know, the little folders that you can put scripture in, you know, that you review when you're walking or running or at home or
yeah.
whatever, and then build on that. Where's a good starting place?
Well, first thing you need to do is get you a verse pack. And these are empty now. You're going to have to put your verses in there. We'll talk about that in a minute. And I'm trying to, this is my great memory. I'm trying to remember Bill's last name. Bill from Kiowa, Kansas.
Bill Schrock.
Schrock. Whew, thank you. Praise the Lord. See, I review verses, but not names. That's Bill Schrock. And I'll tell you, boys, we have Bill. Could I get some help from you guys passing these out? He has one for everyone here. And this is kind of his ministry, is Bill Schrock. I'll never forget that. Yeah. Yes, sir, Keith.
Then where do you get the verses to put in that?
Well, you can get these five right here. I'll just give those to you, and you get started with the assurance of salvation to begin with. Okay? And then I would suggest, while you're working on those, that through your Christian bookstore is a good place, just that you start off. This topical memory system is absolutely fantastic. I'd suggest that as a place to start.
John,
okay. I can come back to you. Yes, sir.
We're also going to take B-Rasher's reviews of how to do
it. Is that you, Bob?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man.
I don't think it gets any better than B-Rasher.
Very good. That's right.
Beginning
That's right.
He was
just supplementing this to take those five verses, that beginning with Christ. Yes, sir.
The devotionals that Glenn Airy brought down that are free over there, that verse in the back.
Good. Why don't you, Ed, share that with the group? I don't know if they heard that.
The little devotionals, family devotional, daily devotional that Glenn Airy brought down, the free stuff over there, the verses in the back of it.
And I noticed, too, over here, they've got these blank cards, too, if you want to get those over there. But I'll tell you, the guys, the main thing is just get started.